And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about down yonder in that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And y'all, I even mean big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we got that time of the week right now. It's Thursday when we go to two other people who are oftentimes doing things that benefit the overall right side experience. And so we bring them in, and we like to do a round of, we call it Butters and Lees. Let me call the roll first before I hit the sound effect. So, Butterman, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed sounding smooth and sexy. All right, so Butters is on the line. And then calling in from Huntsville, Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I am here.
You are indeed. I pronounce a quorum. Hit me some whoop-whoops. Let's do some Butters and Lee. All right, you guys. So here's my first question for you. I'm watching the Libs having their complete meltdown over what I've been calling today the shock and awe of the entire, you know, Trump team working its agenda in D.C. The scunion, just bringing the heat. And part of that is Elon Musk and Doge. And so here's my question for you. Is Musk derangement syndrome becoming as strong as Trump derangement syndrome? I mean, is there even a cure for this? What's the takeaway, in your opinion? Musk derangement syndrome, is it real? Lee, you first.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's much worse than Trump derangement syndrome right now, just because he's over the target. He's come in, and he's going to stop the outflow of cash that they use daily, weekly, monthly, yearly to essentially centralize their power and help promote whatever pet projects they have. And their cash, you know, siphon is being turned off. And it's causing them to literally lose their mind. I wouldn't be surprised if they start falling on the floor, going into some sort of fit, foaming at the mouth. I mean, they're about there.
They are.
And it's because their money is being messed with. And this is something that it's not just a Democrat Republican thing. They both use it. But Democrats rely heavily on this.
Yeah.
And it's sending them into outer space. They can't take it.
Yeah, I mean, if you get down to it, you're right, and I don't want to take away from Butter's time too much here, but the financial tap is being turned off, and if you think about it, most of what the right does is considered to be something they have to go raise the money for, whereas the libs has got it from taxpayer dollars through USAID. It's crazy. Butters, your thoughts? Musk derangement syndrome. What do you think? Is it real?
Well, I will start my answer with the poll that we're doing on the Right Side Report newsletter this week. So apparently we're at about 99% of the people trust Doge. So that's the question this week is, do you trust Doge? And 99%. So I think I'm on board with them. Yes, clearly. I don't know. Yeah, you're talking about this theme of shock and awe. I'm not sure that they have any idea. So is it a derangement syndrome? I just think they're just completely thrown for a loop, and this is every little headline, every little thing done, they're just chasing their tail, and so it comes across as they're freaking out about Elon Musk, and certainly he's the most unconventional kind of aspect of a lot of this, and so maybe they feel comfortable going after that. But
what's crazy too is, like, when you look at like Israel bombing over in Gaza, right? They always never get credit for it, but they always announce, we're about to bomb here, civilians should leave. And they'll drop leaflets, and they'll put a single smoke bomb there that tells everybody where the bombings are going to be dropping. And basically that's what Trump's done. Trump said, we're going to do Doge. Doge is going to come in and streamline. And then they're still surprised. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah. I think, one of the telling things, I think last night I had on my X feed, is a guy who was red-pilled from North Carolina, who's become very outspoken on X with all the stuff in the recovery, and basically saying, you guys are throwing a fit about this, but you're not throwing a fit about North Carolina. And just below it is Elizabeth Warren's post. I just thought that it, that is what's going on.
What did Pocahontas say?
Oh, pure garbage that she's
screaming.
Throwing out about.
She's screaming.
About how Musk was stealing your Social Security numbers and getting all your personal data and taking your money from Social Security and all that kind of stuff.
And having access.
Yeah.
Having access to your Medicare. Like he's looking through charts. But here's the thing. Look at who's screaming the loudest, people. Just look at who's screaming the loudest. That will let you know who's the most affected by all of this. And they don't want what's done in the dark to come out in the light. They don't want that.
No, they don't. And I think that's part of what they hate too. It's the money's going away, but it's also transparency. We're actually seeing what they've been doing with it. You know, Rubio, I said at the show earlier, Rubio has even said that when he was in the Senate, they couldn't get answers from USAID. They felt like they were impervious. And now all of a sudden, Musk is helping fire people, cancel contracts, and oh, by the way, digging up some transparency issues that they did not want to deal with. All right. Good stuff, man. All right, let me jump into the next question before we run out of time. We got about 5 minutes for the break. So let's run down this a little bit. State legislatures. It's easy to focus on D.C. all the time, but state is super important. It impacts us in a huge way out of our state capital. And right now, state legislatures everywhere, and in this listening audience, it's true. It's both, you know, all of our states, Tennessee, Alabama especially, their legislature is in session. So today, which you look at it and go, why do we have to do this? But today, the Alabama Senate actually, like, in speedy fashion, got the What is a Woman Act out. It's headed to the House. It's going to pass, we believe. No problems. What else do you want to see your state legislature do? I'll go ahead and let Butter start this one. What do you want to see your state legislature do now that they're in session?
Is it too much of a cop out to just say demonstrate leadership?
How so? Define it a little bit.
I just, you know, the fact that there's any discussion about the whole gambling. I mean, I think you've been really covering this the last couple of days. I know, you know, have a plan. You know, at this point, for such a conservative state like Alabama, this is a layup for this year. I guess to me, quit squabbling over stupid stuff. There's plenty of important, but what are we doing to attract more business? What type of policies? What are we looking at to bring money into Alabama and jobs, and, you know, pile on to the wave that's going to come as Donald Trump gets in there and rolls out all of the things that he's doing.
Okay, so leadership, like, give us a plan. All right, Lee, what do you think? What do you love to see from your state legislature as specifically as possible? What would you love to see?
Well, of course, What is a Woman has to pass. That's almost a foundational definition bill, because if you're going to discuss women's issues, you have to be able to define what that is.
Yeah.
You think. So that's definitely the first that has to go through. There's also the raising medical age of consent up to 18 from 14, which is ridiculous. They use that in order to, that kind of goes hand in hand with getting kids, you know, medical intervention without the parents' knowledge.
Right.
Prohibiting gender ideology in K-12, that's going to be a bill filed. Like to see that. That in you know, all schools. We were behind one about prohibitive distribution of sexual or inappropriate material to minors, like why we have to have that in a bill, but we do.
Yeah.
Also, protecting female spaces, locker rooms, bathrooms, et cetera. I mean, I really want them to, although Trump has kind of put out an edict, I really want them to define it for Alabama and have it just, you know, codified into Alabama law. I think that's pretty much everything, because we're kind of already on the road here. Oh, also sex ed. They're going to revamp sex ed for the state, or try to kind of put some lanes, if you will, about, you know, teaching more risk avoidance than, you know, comprehensive, and certainly no use of any Planned Parenthood material.
Well, that was a great rundown. Okay, so I'm listening to y'all both, and Butters, you went for the give us some leadership, give us a plan, help us as a red state to actually act like a leader state and not just be the follower state. I hear that. Perfect. And then Lee, you went down a sociocultural You had a lot of bills there that dealt with transgenderism and sex ed with kids and all that kind of stuff. Perfect. I'm going to add a couple of things to it that I would love to see. I want to see an Alabama Illegal Immigration Act that jumps in at the state level and says, by God, we're in the fight with you. It's not going to be all on Tom Homan to get it done. Alabama's going to play the game with you. I want to see illegal immigration dealt with. And then I tell you what I don't want to see. And right now they say they're not, and I'm glad. But I don't want to see Medicaid expansion. Something like 24% of all Alabamians are already on some form of Medicaid or public entitlement health care. And it costs the state an exorbitant amount of money. We already spend like 30% of our general fund budget on Medicaid. And if we expand it, it's going to grow and it's going to eat up the budget and nothing else will get paid for. So I'm going to jump in there and say that's what I'm looking at. Any further thoughts on?
Can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, if we don't put some teeth in our bills, period, overall, if we don't start putting teeth in the bill,
yeah,
I don't know what they're doing or why they're wasting their time.
Yeah, the DEI bill is one of the classic examples. They passed a no DEI bill. It has no teeth in it, so therefore people are flaunting it and not worried about the results. Yeah, perfect. All right. Wow. That's good stuff, y'all. I'm calling it. That's round one. Good Lord, JP.
My bad.
That's round one of Butters and Lee. We'll come right back. We switch gears in the second round, and they just ask me questions, and I don't even know what they are. I just wait to hear and hope I have an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we'll come back from the next break, and former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne with us to talk about the new and improved Department of Justice under Pam Bondi. So y'all stay tuned for that. Right now, going back to round two of Butters and Lee, this is where we flip the script. And I just wait and see what random questions they have for me and can I even field them. So I'm going to go with Lee first. Lee, what you got first?
Okay. So, Trump's recently, I mean, he signed so much stuff in a flurry, but especially things having to do with DEI and legality. There's things that conflict with our local and state education boards, or at least what they have right now, right, with local systems and the state board of education. And I do know Emily Jones has sent that out to the board and to the so far the ones that she's found that they are not in compliance with the newest presidential edicts,
yeah.
And they just don't seem to care.
Yeah.
It's like we're in a, when they force us to do it, we'll do it instead of being proactive. My question for you is, why is it seems like Alabama's always on the defensive and never on the offense?
Well, and I don't know that it's always that way, but I'll tell you, we've got some solid people down there in Montgomery, but we've got a bunch of them too who just hate the idea of having to rock the boat. It's like they've lost the... They've been comfortable being the supermajority, and they don't want to lose that. But being a supermajority means they've never had to be in big fights, because they've always had the ability to prevail. Which means sometimes what happens is you play up to your competition. If the Democrats had more going on, Republicans would have to own their game a little more, and right now I'm afraid that they don't. So what I'm saying is the Republican supermajority risks getting fat and lazy if they don't start really stepping up on stuff. And now let me say this. They do some good stuff. We passed one of the first ever transgender treatments bans against kids in the nation. We just passed major school choice. But they also take forever with it. Like, why didn't we pass the What Is a Woman Act last year? That's kind of a layup bill.
Or the year before.
The porn filter to help kids, to keep kids from seeing porn all the time. Why didn't they pass it? It's easy. So the question you bring is really, I think, kind of rooted in the fact that we've got a supermajority that's a little bit comfortable with being a supermajority, and they'll do what they have to do when they have to do it. But they're not out there like leading the charge on stuff very often, and that bothers me. Did that answer your question?
It does. I just wish we had a leader. Love Kay Ivey. You saw her on the State of the State. But she's not a leader like you know, say like a DeSantis in Florida or whatever, who's really driving the agenda.
Yeah, and I completely agree. All right, let me flip it over here to Butters. Butterman, what you got for me?
Well, so more transgender stuff.
Okay.
Which I'm sitting here pondering, why on earth, how did we get to the point that this is such a big topic of discussion, what a woman and a man is? But anywho, I digress. So former athletes suing the University of Pennsylvania, the Ivy League Council of Presidents. I don't know if you've heard about or read about this. There's a few other things going on. But this whole deal, you know, that they're suing from, you know, based on having their teammates of Leah Thomas and all that yeah. garbage. My question is, what's the desired outcome of a lawsuit like this, and bringing it up now and going after it? Like, you know, monetary damages or policies, getting people fired? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. So, what's their aim, or what do I think the potential aims are? What are you asking?
What would be their aim? Yeah. Do you think?
Okay. I think it's all the above. And I say that, I think first of all, they're going to be looking for injunctive relief, meaning stop that behavior, and put it on hold while we fight this case, through on its merits. So I think they're looking for injunctive relief. I think they're also looking, for a restoration of the norm and a declaration of rights, which means, hey, we need a court to say under the law that the rights of the parties are this, this, and this. And then on top of that, there could be a potential for monetary damages, because there are girls in there who lost opportunities because of this transgenderism in sports. They're high school students have lost scholarship opportunities because they came in second or third at the state meet to a transgender. And then you've got out in California, San Jose State. San Jose State had a trans guy on their team, the girls' volleyball team, and the girls' volleyball team members themselves sued their own school to try and get it to stop because they're tired of having him in the locker room, and they've got other teams that are forfeiting games against them, which means they're losing their potential for playing up to the Olympics or whatever else. So, yeah, I think it could be all of the above, bud. I mean, I think they could really look at stopping the behavior, demanding there be change, potentially seeing people lose their jobs because they let it happen, and then maybe even the potential for monetary damages. I don't know yet. It depends on how they style the suit. Great question though, and I love the fact that they're fighting back. How about that? That to me is huge.
Yeah, it definitely.
You know, they fired that coach though.
Which one? The one up in Penn? It was Lisa.
They declined to extend the coach, extend her contract. So she is getting de facto punished. The one that was fighting on behalf of the girls.
Yeah.
The assistant coach.
At San Jose?
Yeah, they're not going to extend her contract.
Yeah, that figures. Hey, listen, guys, the music is about to kick off. So thank you very much, Butters and Lee. Appreciate both of you. As always, great segment. Those are good questions. That was real good questions. All right, we'll have you guys back on next week. In the meantime, just know this, we're switching gears. Coming up next, former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne calling in, talking about the new and improved DOJ under Pam Bondi. Get his thoughts on where it's headed, what it's going to do. Is it going to be different? I suspect it will. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.